This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I want to thank our friends at Town Fair Tire. They remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you get all the always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires you trust. From Connecticut to Maine, nobody beats Town Fair Tire, and I mean nobody. Let's welcome aboard. It's been a lot of NFL conversation first couple hours. Albert Breer does a great job. Senior NFL reporter, lead content strategist at MMQB, Amazon NFL on Prime. It's been a while, Albert. Thanks for the time this hour. I appreciate it.
No, I appreciate you having me, Moose.
Yeah, Albert, let's start here. Let's start with Rodgers. You know, the waiting game. You know, what's the and listen, the Giants and the Steelers have got to wait it out because he's the best option for either one of those two teams. Any idea in terms of what the decision or, you know, what's factoring in, what ultimately will factor in for Rodgers in terms of where he decides to go?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't count on getting much of a timeline here. I think that's up to Aaron, and you know, I think, you know, like, he was private about this the last time. I think he's going to be private about it this time, about what his final decision is going to be. And I think we will, you know, we'll get it when we get it. You know, as far as factors go, and this is just me sort of putting the pieces together, Moose. Like, I think we're all to some degree a product of, you know, our circumstances. And, you know, I look at the two teams that are sitting out there, and again, if Minnesota throws its hat in the ring for real, then I think it does change some things. But, you know, the two that are there, I think you're sort of like looking at teams that are asking for different things from him, where, you know, the Steelers, it's come in and be the guy who puts us over the top. We've been pretty good for a while. We haven't been good enough at that position. We have guys that are, you know, more your contemporaries than most of the guys in the league, and T.J. Watt, and Minkah Fitzpatrick, and Cam Hayward. We got an offensive line that's set and ready to roll with young players all over the place. You know, we just traded for, you know, a veteran receiver. You know, the urgency that Aaron would want is all over the place already in Pittsburgh. So he'd be walking in as like the piece that will put him over the top. I look at it like the Giants would sort of be asking of Aaron something similar to what the Jets were asking him, where we really like some of the young pieces on our roster, Malik Nabers, Dexter Lawrence, Brian Burns, you know, Kayvon Thibodeau, and we would love for you to come in and be the guy who kind of moves the needle for us and moves the needle for all those players, which, again, I think is like sort of exactly what the Jets were. You know, so, you know, I think that it's two different circumstances, and I think, you know, his experience with the Jets over the last couple of years could mark, you know, like what this decision comes down to for him. Again, that's just me sort of reading tea leaves here. You know, and I'm not going to venture a guess, but if you lay all that out, it does seem like Pittsburgh might be a little bit more enticing than the Giants. And again, I think the Vikings would be on a different level than those two.
You know, Albert, I made the argument earlier in the show, and you could call me crazy or not, whatever, but I want to throw it at you and see what you think. Do the Jets actually help the Giants out in this scenario where if you're Rodgers, nothing to do with his home in Jersey, but it's the same stadium, same marketplace. Yep. The Jets told you thanks, but no thanks. They told everybody that you wanted to stay. They made the decision that they didn't want you. And now it's the Giants in this marketplace that you have the opportunity to show the Jets just how bad of a decision that they made. Does that factor in for Rodgers, do you think, at all?
I think it would, yeah. I mean, I don't know if he'd ever admit that, but I think it would. You know, I know Aaron had a lot of good relationships in that building. There were also some that were not as great and not as perfect. And, like, what do you like to show some of those people, you know, who he is and what he is and all that? Yeah, I think it's human nature, you know, to want that. So it wouldn't surprise me. Again, that's something he would probably never admit to. But, I mean, he's a human being like everybody else. And, you know, I think you know, being told that he was no longer, you know, welcome there. Like, I think, of course, that would be a factor in where you're going next. And if he did pick the Giants, like the idea of shoving it up the Jets, you know what? Like, sure, I think that could play into it.
Albert, I want to ask you about Russell Wilson. Will he wait? Because the fear here is the music stops. You don't have a chair to sit down on, right? If you're especially focused here in New York. The Giants want to add a veteran quarterback. Will Wilson wait to make his decision until Rodgers makes his?
I would fire back at that and say, are you really that worried about that? Can Russell Wilson still give you the level of play that really makes you feel like you would be losing out on something? Or do you feel like you'd be able to get that from someone like Joe Flacco or if Kirk Cousins becomes available? Like, I get what you're saying, Moose.
Yeah.
You know, I think the premise there is, like, would they jump on Russell Wilson to have the bird in the hand over Tua in the Bush? I don't know that Russell Wilson is still a good enough player to say yes. Like, goodbye Aaron Rodgers. We're going with Russell Wilson because he's there for us right now. I think there are other quarterbacks out there that could give you the level of play that Russell Wilson could at this stage of his career.
Fair, I'm with you. I'm with you as well. All right, Albert, I want to ask you about the two quarterbacks, Sanders and Ward, coming out of Indianapolis. Obviously, we're still in that draft process. It's next month out in Green Bay. Giants have the third overall pick. When you look at Ward and when you look at Sanders, what's the buzz around the two players? Is Ward separated himself from Shador?
Yeah, I think there's a separation from most teams in the league. Now, that doesn't mean everybody, but you know, I do think, and this is probably more specific to the AFC teams. Like, if you're talking about the Titans at one, the Browns at two, but, you know, I think to everybody too, like, you look at where the NFL is at the position and what you're up against. And like, if you look up Mount Olympus now, and again, specifically if you're in the AFC, you see Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, CJ Stroud. You're going to have to beat a number of these guys in succession to get to a championship. So, you know, I think it kind of comes back to that, like, I mean, are they ready now or are they going to be ready in 3 years? Are you going to get the level of play you want now versus, you know, where are they going to be in 3 years? And I think more teams now are asking that question, not so much like how ready is he to go right now, which I think Shador is pretty ready to play right now. It's like, where can he be in 3 years? In other words, like, who's got the ceiling? And, you know, I think more teams than ever are chasing ceiling at that position. And Cam just simply has a ceiling that Shador doesn't from a talent perspective, which is why I think there is that separation. I think for Shador, it's going to come down to fit. I really do. That's the way I look at it anyway. When you look at what he is from an arm strength standpoint, what he is from from an athleticism standpoint, it's just not. And this has just taught me that this isn't, you know, my evaluation. This is what teams think. It's just not there. You know what I mean? Like, so, you know, if he's like a day two talent, like, are you pushing him into the first round just because of the need? That's the question. And I think that makes him similar in a lot of ways to Bo Nix last year, where with Bo Nix, like, I think, you know, I don't know, 27, 28 teams would have said, like, we wouldn't take him in the first round. All that mattered was,
that there was one team that would, and that team was a tremendous fit. I mean, I could find two teams last year that, I think regarded Bo Nix as a first-round quarterback. That was the team that Sean Payton coaches and the team that Sean Payton used to coach, the Saints. But, like, you know, none of that matters now because he found a place that was a great fit at a great rookie year and looks like he's going to be a really good player in the league playing for them specifically. I think it's going to be, for Shador, about finding that sort of fit with someone.
Do you think the Titans right now have come to a decision in terms of what they want to do, either draft or move down with the number one overall pick?
I'm sure they have their leanings. If I had to guess right now, I'd say they probably stick and take Cam Ward. I mean, that's just a guess at this point. And I would have told you 3 or 4 weeks ago that I would have thought it would have been Abdul Carter. The reason I look at like Cam Ward now is just by their other actions and how quiet they've been with veteran quarterbacks. They haven't really done much of anything as far as pursuing a veteran option at the position. So, you know, that tells me, and, you know, and I think part of it for them was going to, before the start of free agency, getting as much information as he could, which is why they brought both quarterbacks in for 30 visits before. And they did a ton of groundwork over the last like 2 months since the new GM arrived there, Mike Borgonzi, to try to get ahead of it as much as they could so they could be informed in how they attack the free agent market. So the fact that they've been so inactive when it comes to quarterbacks in the free agent market tells me they may be leaning towards taking one at one. And again, like I would have bet that it would have been Abdul Carter if you'd asked me a month ago.
We're talking to Albert Breer, MMQB, Amazon, NFL on Prime. Albert, I know you're a big Ohio State guy, so I got to ask you about Fields and the Jets, right? Is he, you know, what we have seen from Fields, good and bad, is he a product of, you know, Chicago and then Pittsburgh? Like, what do you view Fields landing with Glenn and the Jets and the opportunity now? Do you think they can get the best out of Justin Fields here in New York?
Well, I tell you two things. Like, number one, Pittsburgh wanted to keep him. The timing just didn't work out, you know, and the Steelers coaches wanted to keep working with him, and they really felt like, you know, their offensive coordinator, Arthur Smith, was obviously in Tennessee for all of those years. And he felt like he could have gotten more out of Justin Fields in time with some development time than he got out of Ryan Tannehill in Tennessee. Now, that doesn't make him a superstar, but Ryan Tannehill got them to an AFC title game. I think that there's promise there in the work that he did in Pittsburgh. And really, this came down to circumstance. The Steelers decide they're going to make that run at Aaron Rodgers, and they're sort of handcuffed, right? And I don't know if they would have been able to they would have been willing to go to where the Jets were willing to go money-wise and commitment-wise and all of that. So they did want to keep him, just, you know, the timing, all that didn't work out. The second piece of it is just Aaron Glenn's own experience, you know. And again, like I talk about being a product of your own experiences, well, what did Aaron just come from in Detroit? I don't think there are very many people who would have, like, looked at you with a straight face if you had told them 4 years ago that Jared Goff not only would still be the quarterback in Detroit now, but that he would be the starting quarterback in Detroit on a contract exceeding $50 million.
No.
When they made that trade, like, everybody viewed that as a salary dump as part of the Stafford trade. And, like, so Aaron Glenn saw that, you know, a talented kid comes in, winds up, you know, obviously, like, in a weird circumstance in LA at the end, and goes somewhere else and, like, just flourishes. So, you know, I think the door is open for Justin to be that player for Aaron Glenn. We'll see if he gets there or not, but, you know, I don't think they view this as like, yeah, like he's there, he's here for a year and we're throwing him out the door. I think they really want to build with him, and, you know, and maybe it works out, maybe it doesn't. A year from now, maybe he hasn't played very well and they're looking at Garrett Nussmeier and Drew Aller and all these guys that'll be in the draft next year. But I think he is going to get a legitimate shot to be the guy.
You know, Albert, you mentioned next year's quarterback class, because I had a caller earlier. I'll ask you, because you know better than anybody, is next year's quarterback class on the whole going to be decidedly deeper and better than this year?
Yeah, I don't know if it'll be as good as last year. You know, last year, obviously, you know, we see what that looks like it's becoming. But I think it's most teams that I've talked to about it that have actually looked at it say that, yes, it will be. I have one veteran college director type, tell me that he thought that if Garrett Nussmeier had declared that he'd be the first quarterback taken in this year's class. So, like, that's not everybody's opinion. That's one person's opinion, but, you know, Nussmeier's seen that way. Aller's seen that way. I don't have the names in front of me,
yeah,
but there are a bunch of others. Lenora Sellers, I know,
out of South Carolina.
Is really intriguing for a lot of people, yeah. So, you know, there's not like a Caleb Williams where it's like going into the year, it's going to be like, yeah, that guy's going to be the number one overall pick. But there are a lot of guys that I think teams view as intriguing that if they have a really good year next year, could be viewed on a different level than the guys that are in the draft this year.
Albert, two more before I let you go. Number one, when we look at what has transpired this week, what have you loved? What has made you scratch your head?
That's a good question. Because my brain's mush right now. You know, I think what I really have liked is the Commander's aggression. I think that, like, you look at, like, the way that they've operated, you know, and saying, okay, like, we've laid a foundation now, and we're going to be able to, you know, work our way through the draft process and still get good players, but bring in answers at premium positions. And really, this goes back to the Marshawn Lattimore trade in November, and yep, then, you know, bringing in Debo, obviously, a couple weeks ago, and now Laremy Tunsil. So I like what they've done. I also like what the Seahawks have done. You know, like, the Seahawks, like, obviously came to a standstill in their contract negotiation with Geno. So I don't know if Sam Darnold would be better than Geno, but, you know, I think he's 7 years younger, he's cheaper, and he got a third round pick that comes with Geno back. And, you know, the DK Metcalf situation was what it was. I think they have a better receiver on hand now in Jackson Smith and Jigba. So now they have five top 100 picks. I think they got a promising young core, so I like where Seattle's at. As far as, like, the head scratchers, I mean, like, the offensive line contracts were really big. You know, it's hard for me to blame the teams that did them, though, because it's just so hard to find good ones. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, and you guys have seen it with both teams there over the last 5 years,
no
right?
Doubt.
Like,
no doubt.
It's just really, there aren't enough really good big men in the NFL on that side of the ball. And, you know, so did Tennessee overspend for Dan Moore? Yeah. You know, but, like, is that going to make them better? Of course it is. You know, like, because they've got a competent left tackle, they can move the right tackle, J.C. Latham over to the other side. So, you know, those are the bigger ones. I don't know if there's anything that was totally head scratching, like, I can't believe they did that.
Yeah, it's fair. I mean, the 49ers stuff was kind of predicted, right? 11 of the 22
yeah.
starters from two years ago off that Super Bowl team gone because they got to pay Purdy.
Yeah, and I think the Niners are sort of where, here's what I would say. I'd say the Niners are where the Rams were 2 years ago, where the Bills were last year. Both those teams took on over $75 million in dead money. And because they drafted and developed well, both those teams wound up making the playoffs with all that dead money on their books. It's just a reality of being a good team now is a lot of times you have to push money and you have this, like, you know, this cap debt that builds up. And it seems like that's more often than not the way of getting out of it now is that you do a hard reset single year and you rely on your ability to draft and develop to get out of it. And I think that's where the Niners are right now is, that core had aged out, and, you know, like, if they kicked the can down the road, which they could have for another year or two, we might be talking about like a 2 year process of getting them out from out of that hole. And so, you know, they do the cap reset now. And by the way, I mean, it's not like that place is, like, bereft of talent all of a sudden, right?
No.
I mean, like, they still have Nick Bosa and Fred Warner and Lenore at corner, and Ayuk for at least now.
I think Pearsall is going to be a player too, Albert.
Yeah, Kittle and McCaffrey. Like, they, like, I don't know. Like, they hit a couple. They hit on, you know, their draft, and I think, you know, they're still going to be a factor in the NFC for sure.
You know, Albert, last one from the Giants is this, is I know you mentioned it before in terms of the way that Shane is looking at this team now. And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but something to the extent the Giants really internally believe their roster isn't as bad as it appears, them having the third overall pick. If they got better quarterback play, they would have had a significant growth period last year, correct?
Yeah, I think they feel like they've been crippled a little bit by what's happened at quarterback. And I don't think anybody's running from the responsibility for that. But, you know, I think that they do feel like what's happened at quarterback has crippled them a little bit over the last 2 years. But, you know, like, and look, like I was wrong about this. I picked them to be like my surprise team last year. I will stand by the fact that I don't think they're that far off. Losing Andrew Thomas was a killer for them last year. You'll have him back. You know, I think the defensive front has a chance to be one of the best in football. If you can get more out of Deontay Banks, which is obviously a big question, but like, then you have Banks and Adebo at corner. I don't think it's that hard to look at the team and say, if you could get a quarterback who can at least get you back to level ground, whether that's Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Kirk Cousins, whoever, you know, you could be pretty good pretty quick, especially if you're spending the third, if you're freed up to spend the third pick on a position player.
Albert, appreciate it, man. I know it's been a busy week. Thanks for cutting out some time for us and continue killing it. You're doing a great job, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks. I appreciate it, Moose.
You got it. Albert Breer, senior NFL reporter, lead content strategist, MMQB, Amazon NFL on Prime. We'll come back. That was your call of the day, brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy. Where? Of course, at Volvo Cars Ramsey and by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating expert. /1229, Melissa's with you, 888-808-1019, your number to call. Good stuff with Breer there. We're rolling right up until 2. In for BT and Sal, let's head out to the Jersey Shore. It's Dave, it's the fan. What's going on, Dave? Is he on a horse? Dave. That's the weirdest thing. I don't know. Maybe he's trying to communicate with us.
Dude, he's definitely riding a horse. There's no doubt about
it. He's got to be riding a horse, right? That's like clippity-clop.
Yeah.
Right? That's a horse.
What type of horse is that, though? Is that a little...
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Phony or
I don't know what that is. I don't know. Maybe he's trying to communicate us with Morse code. I have no idea what the hell that was. Listen, I've done overnights. I've had people I have gone to them, they fell asleep at like 4 o'clock in the morning. So I've been through that. Well, that sounded like he was on a horse, did it not?
Oh, no doubt. I mean, yeah. Where's he like strolling through like the, you know, Central Park?
I have no idea. It sounded like he was like on Belgian blocks, like on a block, you know, one of those roads down here. It basically tear up your car. It was fascinating. Maybe let's check back in with Dave in a little while. Eastchester we go. It's Andrew. What's going on, Andrew?
Yeah, I don't know how I can follow that. So I'll keep it simple. Who's going to saddle up for the Giants week one? What does your gut tell you?
I'll be positive. I think it's Rodgers. Oh, for some reason, I think he's going to sign with the Giants.
Yeah, I think I'm leaning that way too. The circus notwithstanding, he, I think, gives them the best chance to have some sort of success. And, you know, you can't really do much better in terms of a young quarterback, you know, learning from him. So.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, and Andrew, I don't even, right, so you look at it, I mean, maybe as Breer mentioned, you know, it frees them up to do what they want to do with the third overall pick, you know, and maybe, you know, they don't reach for, maybe they don't, reach is a little, is too strong of a word, maybe they don't go for a quarterback. I think for Rodgers, who's a mercurial guy, who does things differently than most, if it's as easy as putting yourself in the best position to go out there and win, then the answer is easy. It's the Steelers, right? So, I mean, you know, we laid it out. Albert laid it out. You can lay it out at home. You can understand it. You look at Pittsburgh, even though, you know, the AFC decidedly deeper, that division obviously difficult. The NFC East is obviously going to be difficult. But you look at it and say, well, the Steelers, Hall of Fame head coach, and Mike Tomlin, a better roster, better defense, all those things, culture of winning. I step in, potentially be the finishing piece. DK Metcalf, a new weapon. I can help them go out there and potentially go win a Super Bowl. Potentially. With the Giants, those expectations are, you know, wouldn't be as high. It's a matter of getting the Giants back into some sort of relevancy. Bring them back into the conversation. And it would be a short time, and eventually you'd have to obviously have a young quarterback for Rodgers to hand the ball off to. But if it's as easy as putting yourself in a situation to win, then the answer is Pittsburgh. But the other stuff comes into play as well. The emotions, we talked about it. The way that it ended with the New York Jets. The fact that the Giants, obviously, and the Jets both play at MetLife Stadium. It's the same New York marketplace. It's this area. It's the confidence, say, in Daboll and Shane or Daboll and Kafka to be able to put together the offense, play with a guy like a Malik Nabers, all of those things. But, you know, emotions come into play for everybody where you look at and say, well, yeah, I'd like to prove people wrong. Who doesn't love that? You know, who doesn't love that? We've all been through that in life where people doubt you, doubt what you can do, and whether it be in work, whether it be in sports, whatever it might be. And then you prove those people wrong. There's nothing more satisfying. And the Jets wanted to make it known, an organization that has not made the playoffs since 2010 with Aaron Glenn and Darren Bougie in charge. They wanted to make it be known to everybody. Everybody with pen and paper, everybody in front of a microphone, in front of a TV, every Jet fan that pays their hard-earned money to go out there and watch this team practice out of Floral Park or show up and watch games out of MetLife Stadium, that we made the decision. It was us. It was us. We made the choice. We had conversations. We flew him into Florham Park. We ripped the Band-Aid off. It didn't work. He wanted to stay. We wanted no part of it. We're moving on. That's a supreme motivator. Now, in order to, as it is sweet, enact a little bit of revenge. Well, where's the revenge easier? The revenge would be easier here in New York than it would be in Pittsburgh. For them to see it on a day-in, day-out basis. Now, Pittsburgh provides you
a little bit more of a stable franchise. More of a culture of winning, the expectations, the brand of Steeler football, all of those things. But that's the thing. I mentioned to kick off the program. What helps, amazingly enough, what helps the Giants in the conversation is Woody Johnson. And the Giants are going to wait. I saw this stuff from Schefter yesterday, get a little frustrated about waiting, and there are Giant fans that are ready to move on and say to themselves, well, let's not wait on him. No, because he is really the only appealing quarterback left that can do what the Giants are asking him to do. Russell Wilson can't. There's a limitation to what Russell Wilson is as a quarterback right now. Don't bring up the conversation about Jameis Winston. None of that stuff. It's really Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Rodgers alone. And as the Jets decided to part ways, like the celebratory nature to bringing in Justin Fields, to me, is completely and utterly amazing. And I get that Fields is a talented athlete. I understand that he can run the football. My question to you is this. Is Justin Fields a good quarterback? Like, from what we have seen here, is Justin Fields in the National Football League a good quarterback? Like, you could look at and... Albert brought up the idea of Jared Goff, and sometimes it takes time to go out there and find the right place. And I understand that in the modern-day NFL, you want a quarterback that can be able to run, quarterback that can be able to scramble, the threat of the run, putting the pressure on the opposing defense, all of that. Here's the issue with Justin Fields, though. He can't throw. Not consistently. Not where he wants to. Like, that's the problem. When your completion percentage for your career is right around 61%, When your offense stalls out, when you can't make the big-time throw, where you can't put it into a pressurized spot. And there's a difference between being college open and NFL open. And we have seen those limitations with Justin Fields. What would lead you to believe that's all of a sudden going to change for the New York Jets? And it's great for Aaron Glenn. I understand what he wants to do here. I get it. Very similar to what Parcells like to do, right? The quarterback's got to be part of everybody. It can't be an outlier. All of those things. But let me ask you this. What team goes out there and wins in the National Football League consistently without great quarterback play? And what would lead you to believe that now all of a sudden it's the Jets with the history that they have? That Justin Fields, with what he has shown so far in the National Football League with Chicago and Pittsburgh, that now all of a sudden he's going to find it here in New York. Like I said this the other day, and it will not be a quarterback competition. I said this the other day with Figgy up over on Picks. It won't be a quarterback competition, I get that. But if it was a true quarterback competition between Fields and Tyrod Taylor for the New York Jets, with all things being equal, nobody's got a lead. Money's not a factor. All of those things. Who do I think has shown himself to be a better quarterback in the National Football League to be able to throw? Because you got to throw to win in the NFL. It's Taylor. Now, Fields can make jaw-dropping plays with his legs. Can he make the big-time accurate throw on a third and long in the fourth quarter when your team needs to put together a drive? The answer to that question up until this stage of his career is no. 888-808-1019. Let's head out to Beacon Falls, Connecticut. It's Michael. It's the fan. What's going on, Michael?
Moose, you're my favorite. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Michael. How are you, buddy?
I'm well, thanks. Listen, NFL free agency is amazing. It gives you a chance to reformulate. Last year, the Cards ended up showing Russell Wilson with the Steelers, Aaron Rodgers, from the year prior with the Jets, Fields, the controversy in Pittsburgh. As a Steeler fan, I wouldn't be upset if they re-signed Russell Wilson. Really, I want to give him some love here, and I know he has his limitations at this stage of his career. But, he has a certain mentality that he brings that rubs people the wrong way. But there's a part of me that likes it for my team and a chance to win. That being said, if we can get Rodgers, I'd be pumped. Best of luck to the Jets fans, Ira, out there, with Mr. Fields.
Michael, do you love Wilson so much that you'll take yourself out of the running for Rodgers? The answer
is
no.
I want Aaron Rodgers. I want Aaron Rodgers.
You like Wilson. You don't love Wilson. All those things, right? The days of Russell Wilson being that kind of quarterback are long gone.
I mean, it breaks my heart a little bit to hear that, but I know.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah, and listen, he's top 20 NFL all time in passing yards and touchdowns. Listen, it's not top 10. It's not maybe, you know, borderline Hall of Famer, but he's done a lot in the league, and I liked him for a long time, even when he was in Seattle. But, you know, I have to balance that bias, you know?
Yeah, but I think, Michael, I think the teams and the lack of interest in Russell Wilson shows you what teams believe what Russell Wilson has left at the position. I'm not doubting his impact. I'm not doubting how, you know, what he was up in Seattle. But he hasn't been that quarterback in quite some time. Unfortunately, that's the case. So that's why the Steelers and the Giants wait with bated breath on Rodgers. And they'll continue to wait, and they won't put pressure on Rodgers, and they won't try and force his hand, and they won't do anything of that because he is their best option. And it's not really close. 1240, Melusa's with you. 888-808-1019. All right, 1246 on this Thursday afternoon. Mark Melusa's with you. 888-808-1019, your number to call. Bronxbound we go. It's Phil. What's going on, Phil?
Hey, good afternoon. How are you guys?
Doing well, Phil. Thank you.
And how much time we got. So, Fields to the Jets. We all know the Jets have no track history. They're a poorly run – and this is the biggest – again, I'm prefacing this. The biggest Jets fan, one of the most greenest blood people ever going to know. They're losers. They're run like losers. The ownership has been horrible my entire lifetime, going on 50 years. Mm. However, it's almost 30 – closer to what? To 30 years and 25 years. Almost Testa Verde, who was a bust, first-round pick, yada, yada, yada. Percentages have to catch up with somebody at some point. The Eagles finally broke that thing. It's almost 50 years, something for the Jets. Something has to happen. So that's the only thing I can hang my head on at this point. I'm not
You're hanging your head on at nuts some win the point in time. Anymore. Right. It can't be this bad this long.
For this long. It's percentages. You're going to hit 10%, 5%.
Right.
You're going to come up on that within 30 years. It's going to happen.
Like one day will
hopefully
be.
Hopefully now.
One,
I don't know.
One day, one year will be the Jets' year. We don't know
and
when, but that's what you open up your eyes to every morning.
That's it. But with one more thing with Fields, it could, again, a lot of it more so is the fit of the quarterback. The fit like, in the situation, in the system, and what have you. So if they can fit it well, they keep it like it was in college. We know he's not a professional, you know, a big, you know, in a league reader of defenses. Keep it two, throw it up to Garrett Wilson, which he can get 80%, 85% of the balls he should be. Or to a tight end, maybe
how
a second
that,
option.
But
or
Phil, that's how it. Is that, run. How is that sustainable?
Well, I'm saying sustainable because of the fit, the play calling, and how they orchestrate the offense. So I'm not saying throw it to Garrett and a cloud of dust. It's two reads, then run. It's Garrett Wilson mainly, maybe a second option. Tight end, running back, whatever you have out of the backfield. You have eight capable backs. And then you just run with the ball. Worst case, he runs, doesn't take it, just no game, goes down. That's it. 1-2 yards. It can work. We've had seen it work with lesser quarterbacks. That's all I'm saying with Fields. He's not a reader of defenses. We know that.
Yeah, I mean, now all of a sudden the Jets are, you know, they're going to have this great offensive line, and it's going to be ground and pound, the revolutionary, the revolutionary year, the running back in 2024, and Fields is going to play off that, similar to what, you know, the Eagles do down there with Jalen Hurts and obviously Saquon Barkley. Let's head out to Manalapan. It's Drew. It's a fan. What's going on, Drew?
Hey, I wanted to kind of build off of what that last caller said. I have a non-analytical reason why I think this is a good choice.
Yeah.
We loved the Jets fans love Geno Smith. He's a bust, and he's successful in Seattle. We love Sam Darnold. He's a bust. He's successful in Minnesota. We loved Aaron Rodgers. He was obviously great in Green Bay. He's a bust in New York. It's about time for a bust of a quarterback somewhere else to come here and give us some of that success.
Oh, you're playing the odds.
I like it. Playing the odds, and it's the juju. It's about time. Look, the New York fans, we were wrong about the Mets last year. I just named all the quarterbacks we've been wrong about. So I think it's, you know, we're going with the inverse this year, and I think maybe we'll be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, I mean, I get it, Drew. Nothing from a football perspective, just kind of like, you know, you're playing the odds. That at some point it'll work out for the Jets. I guess. Or you could just look at the player and be like, well, there are limitations to said player, and we're probably going to see those limitations here as well. East Haven we go. It's Nick. What's going on, Nick?
Hey, how's it going? Long time fan, everyday listener. Not a fan of any. You guys are awesome. Not a fan of any of the New York teams, but I'm a long time Bear fan, and I saw Justin Fields play for two seasons. All I got to say is the guy didn't have an offensive line. He ran for his life, held on to the ball too long because he was constantly running. And I believe the Jets do have a decent offensive line and a great running back. And, not so much last year they had a good defense, but I think the guy just needs a chance, and he gets pounded by the media. I mean, he was 4-2 as a Pittsburgh Steeler, got pulled for a kind of a lame Russell Wilson, who had a few good games in a row, but he ended up doing the same thing.
Yeah, burning out,
Seattle,
no doubt. So. Nick, how cool can I ask you, outside of football? I understand what you're saying. He's going to get an opportunity here with the Jets. We'll see what the Jets can do. They're trying to bring about a new culture. Maybe he will. Maybe he won't. Keep an open mind to it to an extent. I'm not a big Justin Fields fan. I'm not a huge believer. How close are you to New Haven, Nick?
Oh, real close. It's five minutes.
Okay, so let me. You love pizza?
I do.
Okay, what's your favorite New Haven pizza spot?
The original Pepe's Pizza.
The original?
The original one on Worcester Street.
So you think the original Pepe's is better than Sally's and Modern?
I do. And you can pretty much get in now because the line is at Sally's. Modern, if you don't tell them, they'll burn your crust too much, Char. I mean, I'm a New Haven pizza eater, so I know all about the char, but it's sometimes black and unedible.
Gotcha. So you're a Pepe's guy.
I'm originally from Derby, Connecticut. There's a place called Roseland Pizza. Yeah.
Is that bar pie?
I'll put that pizza. Oh, it's incredible. It used to be a bakery.
Oh.
Bread, but they turned pizza probably in the 1940s.
Beautiful.
I'll put that pizza against any pizza in New Haven.
Roseland in Derby, Connecticut.
Yes.
I gotta Nick, I appreciate the scouting report. I become like kind of a, when you have kids, you become like a pizza connoisseur. That's all they want to eat is pizza. Pizza. Can't get them out of the house. Like I was talking to, and Hoff understands that. He's got kids. They all play baseball. Soon that time, Hoff will be running around coaching, doing all these different things and everything like that. Can't get the kids out of the house. You know when you start to show your signs of age, and I'm not old. My wife will tell me I'm old, but I'm not old, right? That's another story. Maybe not for over-the-air radio, maybe for therapy, but you get the point. Here, you start to feel your age when you start to reminisce and tell stories about when you were growing up. Like my kids now, when they get home from school, and more often than not, like I'm out of the house by then, but like on the weekends, trying to get them out of the house, like just go out and play. Like I would tell them, like I'd go get on my my BMX bike, whatever it was. I forget what model it was. It wasn't anything great, but I'd go ride a couple miles away to my buddy Jeff's house. We'd go play street hockey, go play tackle football, go play baseball, stuff like that. Right, all the kids would gather, this and that. Trying to get the kids out of the house now. It's like 65 the other day. They just want to hang inside, bother the dog. Like, and you tell them these stories, and they're like, there's no way. Like, there's no way your mom and dad, like, let you go ride your bike, like, a couple miles away. Yes, they did. It was a different time. They're like, be back at this time, and whatever. You'd go out of the house, and you'd go play all day. And, they give you some money to go grab some lunch, and that was basically it. And then you'd be back, and everything was great before it got dark, and you have dinner and call it a night. Now nobody wants to go outside, like, pleading with them. They're looking at those dopey screens left and right. We have come to the point in the Malusis household. This is it. We've taken away all the PS5 remotes. They're now all gone. They're basically in my car. Not basically, they are. They're in my car. Because if I leave them anywhere in the house, they sniff them out and they find them. So the PS5 remotes are out of the house. All the screens are gone. Everything is gone. And we're pleading with our kids to go outside. Now, when it's 10 degrees outside, understand, you're not going to go out. It's too cold. Well, this week, it was like 68 degrees, like on Tuesday. Go out and play. Enjoy yourself. Be a kid. You have no responsibilities whatsoever. What do? They want to sit around, relax from the trying day of school. Just a different time. Dove asked me how Chip is doing. Give you an update. Chip's great. No more stomach issues. How's he getting along with my wife? This is the easiest way to put it. My wife deals with the dog. She's not mean to the dog, not nasty to the dog. She likes Chip. Is there a love for the dog? It's a little bit of a stretch. It's just another burden and another headache. Which, if we had a little bit of hindsight, look back on the decision to bring Chip into the household, and he's a wonderful dog. He really is. Is he a lot at times to go along with three boys at 12, 10, and 8? Yeah, it's like the cherry on the top. It really is. Combustible. At times, combustible. 1256. Melusis with you.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.